Well, greetings tonight. In the name of the Lord Jesus. God bless each one of you. I come here tonight sort of trembling. Looks like a big task that I'm not able to do. That's how it feels. So maybe we could just kneel for a word of prayer before we continue. God, our Heavenly Father, we bow our hearts here before you tonight and just pray for the anointing of your Spirit upon each one of our hearts. Lord, would you come meet with us as your people? We've gathered in your name, in the name of Jesus, and you said where two or three will meet together in your name, you'd be there in their midst. And we need you tonight, Lord. We look to you, Father. Would you come and speak to our hearts? Would you come and open up your word? And I plead with you tonight, Lord, you would have mercy on me, an earthen vessel, attempting to speak your word. God, I just beg you for grace to be a channel that you can speak through and help me to somehow just stay out of the way, Lord. Would you just take and break the bread of life to these people here, these young people, these fathers, these mothers. Lord, as we look at your word, would you communicate your burden to our hearts tonight? God, we want to hear from you. Would you order our lives? Would you give us direction? And would you lead us, Lord? We need you. Commit the evening to you and pray that you would take charge of it and have the preeminence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, the subject this weekend, I guess we'll say, is a Christ-centered courtship. I'd like to give that as the title for the whole weekend, a Christ-centered courtship. And I'd like to define that a little further as we continue here. Even just an introduction to the series, but it'll take the whole weekend to get the whole picture. A Christ-centered courtship. In sharing this, I have the privilege, my wife and I have the privilege of looking at a series like this with having had a courtship that has no regrets and no guilt. We were blessed with parents that guided us in a right way and gave us opportunities that they didn't have. Therefore, we inherited the blessing of having a courtship that has no regrets and no guilt. Young people, I don't know if you know what I'm saying, but this is priceless. It's priceless. We did have the blessing of our parents, even our church authorities, on our courtship. And also our wedding. We didn't have anybody at the wedding, I don't think, that was wondering, is this okay? I don't think we had anybody there like that. We were blessed. We were blessed. We did have a hands-off courtship. And yes, we held hands for the first time when we said our vows. One of the reasons there's no regrets and no guilt. We'd never held hands. We'd never kissed. We'd never hugged each other. And yes, we were both virgins. But what follows in a married life after courtship like that, or even the first week or the first month or the first year, is just blessing, blessing, blessing. Over and over and over, we were blessed. Even the first night, I remember saying, what's going on? It feels like heaven is smiling down upon us. I wasn't prepared for that witness of God's approval on our marriage. It's beautiful. If you're here tonight, you don't have that testimony or memory. Some of you do here. Actually, a number sitting here that do. God bless you. But if you don't have that, please don't go on a guilt trip here tonight. But my prayer for you is that you get a burning burden and vision in your heart to have it for your children. That can be your reward. You could have it for your children. Also like to say here at the beginning, it's my goal to not create a box here this weekend that says, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, got it. It's my goal to not create a box like that. As we reflect on our courtship or observe and have observed other people's courtships over the years, and now guiding our children through their courtships, we've noticed that they are all uniquely different. Each one has two unique people. I don't know, will you ever get an exact copy? Two unique people that are created by God to fulfill God's purposes in God's kingdom. I would like to present some scriptural principles with practical application, but I'd like to avoid making a box. It is my goal to give as fully rounded a presentation as I can. I have to admit, as I was preparing, it's several years since I shared this the last time, and a bit has changed since then. And as I was preparing, I was starting to wonder if I should wait 10 years so I have a more fully rounded view. And I feel like we have a lot left to learn. In another way, looking at all the different aspects that should be shared, I felt very inadequate. And I would just ask you pray for me this weekend. Somehow God's burden and God's vision needs to come through. I don't know about all the details. We'll trust God for those. I'd like to share in a simple way, easy to understand way that covers as much as possible. In preparation, I did listen to two courtship series by other men, and there's Brother Caleb in the back. Did you get the ones that I had mentioned to you, the series? They're not here yet. Okay. I asked Brother Caleb to get the godly courtship that Brother Denny shared, Brother Denny Keniston. It's one of the series I listened to, and I would recommend it. There's things on there. He goes into some things that I just sat back and like, I will never get it said as well as he did. So I'm going to just recommend it to you. I think we have at least 10 sets or so coming. And I would encourage you to listen to them. And I'm just going to tell you up front, you're not going to remember everything. You're not going to. And I'll just admit to you, I don't remember everything. So go back and listen to things again and make it a part of your heart and life. When you get close to courtship or you're encountering that, go back and look at it again. And I've prepared some things maybe in a little better way this weekend that I'd like to hand out that you can take with you that I think I'm going to keep in my drawer so that I don't have to reinvent the wheel every time so much. A Christ-centered courtship. I'd like to just look at some word definitions to make some clarifications. Words like court, courting, courtship, dating, date, betroth, engage, and engaged. Most of these definitions, all but one of them, come out of the Webster's 1828. The words court, courting, and courtship are very closely related, and they all have a definition, which they have lots of definition, but one of the definitions comes back to this marriage thing. Court means to woo, to solicit for marriage. Courting means flattering, attempting to gain by address, wooing, and soliciting in marriage. Courtship, the act of soliciting favor, the act of wooing in love, solicitation of a woman in marriage. Now I noticed this word solicitation and soliciting and solicit came up in all three of those definitions connected with marriage. And I'm simple enough, I sometimes don't know all these definitions. So I had to look it up. I have to know, what does solicit mean? Is it an ugly word or what is it? Well, solicit means, and this is out of 1828 again, to ask with some degree of earnestness, to make a petition, to apply for something, for obtaining something. Now he goes ahead and qualifies it. He says, this word implies earnestness in seeking. It implies earnestness in seeking. But I think less earnestness than beg, implore, entreat, and importune. So it's not begging. It's not that strong. And more strength than ask or request. He solicits his father for a favor. He didn't just ask for a favor. It's with more strength. So solicit means some earnestness. If a young man comes asking for a young lady and he's half-hearted about it, I say he doesn't get her. He's not soliciting. He's not serious about it. It needs to be with some earnestness, but not begging. Begging is of a different nature. Now, I have a definition here for dating out of the 1828, and it's a bit surprising. The definition, I use the word dating because the word date and dated and all of those were long definitions, and the word dating was more concise and explained the whole thing, so that's why I have it here. Expressing the time of writing or of executing a paper or instrument, noting the time of happening or originating. You cannot find a definition in the 1828 that means an encounter or a social activity between the two of the opposite sex. It didn't exist back then. But now go to the Webster's of today and look up the word date in the noun form in number 4. A and B both talk about it, but they're very similar, so I just have A. An appointment for a specified time, especially a social engagement between two persons of the opposite sex. Now, what we have had a lot in our day on this whole dating thing is it's an experiment and a trial and error thing. There may be people that are doing it in a fairly right way and call it dating. I want to be careful and not just throw the term down because what we're doing at the heart of it is what matters more than the term. But it's not just a social engagement. And it is not a long time standing thing. In 1828, it didn't exist for this word. Now, I'd like to look at the two words betrothed and engagement. And these come from the 1828. Betrothed. To contract to one, to anyone in order to a future marriage, to promise or pledge one to be the future spouse of another, to fiance means to become a fiancé, but it's to fiance, used of either sex. The father betroths his daughter. Definition number 2, to contract with one for a future spouse. To espouse, as a man betrothed a lady. Now I'd like to go and read the words for engage, or the definitions for engage and engaged. Engage, number 3, is to promise or pledge one's word, to bind oneself, as a friend has engaged to supply the necessary funds. This would be like co-signing. Engaged is pledged, promised, enlisted, gained, and attached, attracted and fixed, embarked, earnestly employed, and zealous. How much difference is there between the two? Not very much. Now today, engaged, I will say, doesn't mean as much as it does here in this definition, but I think we need to lift it back to where it used to be. I think we need to lift it back to where it used to be. James chapter 5, verse 12 says, above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by earth, and neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea, and your nay, nay. Mean your words. And I'm not going to say an engagement cannot be broken up, but you don't do that lightly. You don't do that lightly. Now on the betrothal part, to actually go through the ceremony, I wouldn't feel free to do that. Now, my wife and I used the word betrothed on our engagement announcement, meaning what engagement means. We did not have a ceremony. But more than the words and the terms, it matters what we're doing in our hearts and in our lives. What do we mean? Are we serious about this? Are we committed? I think it's a mistake to get carried away with words. But let your yea be yea and your nay, nay. We're talking about a Christ-centered courtship. I'd like to define the word courtship a little, or give it some quality here. Just wooing of any sort is not what we're talking about. We're not talking about just any soliciting for marriage. We're talking about a soliciting for marriage that has Christ in the center of it. He's the chief principal purpose of both people's lives. And a yes to a Christ-centered courtship needs to be with the intent of marriage. It's not let's try it and see. It's with the intent of marriage. So it's a serious yes. But I do believe it is right to have a time of learning to know each other on a spiritual level and find out, do our convictions truly blend like we think they do? And we'll talk about some of that more later. And then, yes, there should be an engagement where there is a complete committing. This is right. I give myself to being your lifelong companion. So when I'm saying a Christ-centered courtship this weekend, that's what we have in mind. A Christ-centered courtship. A Christ-centered courtship, it's a period of time between single life and married life. This is a transition period. The decisions we make in this period will affect us the rest of our lives. And it matters. You can end up with no regrets and no guilt. You can have that. You can have the blessing of God on your life. I'd like to give you 5 goals yet for this series. 5 goals. Number 1. To turn the hearts of the fathers to their children. Goal number 1, to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children. Goal number 2, to turn the hearts of the children to their fathers. Goal number 2, to turn the hearts of the children to the fathers. Goal number 3, as parents, we would get a burden to lead each one of our children into the perfect will of God for their lives. That's a goal. The passion burning in my heart tonight. As parents, we would get a burden to lead each one of our children into the perfect will of God for their lives. Number 4, that each of you young people would get a burden to seek after God, to find fulfillment and purpose in walking with God, and that you would seek maturity in your manners and in your character. I know that was a lot. Let me say it again. That each one of you young people would get a burden to seek after God, to find fulfillment and purpose in walking with God, and that you would seek maturity in your manners and in your character. And number 5, that young men and young women would rise up to be godly fathers and godly mothers with a vision to raise another generation for God, another godly generation. That young men and young women would rise up to be godly fathers and godly mothers with a vision to raise another godly generation up. And the gospel of Jesus Christ can go on. We didn't come together to talk about fluffy feelings. There are a few of those when you get into a Christ-centered courtship, but there's a whole lot more involved, and it's about the kingdom of God. It's about the kingdom of God, a Christ-centered courtship. Now I'd like to shift gears a little bit. I felt a need to sort of give an introduction and sort of open up the weekend. And now I have a message to preach. Lord, help me.